Didn't these young folks do a great job tonight? Praise God. They always do. Amen. Well, funny thing happened on the way to church. About 5 miles before we got here off the turnpike, rear passenger side tire went flat. And so we sat out there for about an hour and a half. I could not move a lug nut with that little bar they had. So I had to wait for AAA to get there, and that didn't take very long. And this is not only an opportunity to come here, but this is Manny and I. This is our 29th anniversary today. And so, praise the Lord. We had planned on just go ahead and spend the night. So we got to the hotel there about 5:30 and found out they don't have any internet for the night. And Manny's got some work to do later on. So we had to switch that, go over to, they called across the street, got us another room, got over there, and here we are. We got cleaned up. And here we are. You know, everything is an opportunity to grow. You know that? I heard one guy was just reading today, said, everything that happens to me is in my best interest. Well, I understand what he's saying. If you're making an opportunity to grow, right? I think you can take that to a little bit of an extreme if you're not careful. And I'm telling you what, there's never been time sickness or disease happened to me that it was the best thing that for me. Never, all right? Nothing that Jesus has redeemed us from. Praise the Lord. Amen? Well, of course, this is Resurrection Sunday. We celebrate the resurrection of the Lord on what we call Easter now in our time. And, you know, I don't think we really need to, you know, have a big debate on all the different things that people want to debate at this time. The most important thing is Jesus is alive. Amen? He's risen from the dead. Glory to God. And because of that, those who have trusted in him as Savior and Lord, who have confessed that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. I know last time we were here about a month ago, we talked about that we have authority because of the resurrection. Everything we have is based on that. Well, because of that, and those, if you've accepted Christ, if you're born again, then you are in Christ. We are in him. And that's a very, very important thing. And I want to look tonight as we go just here at six things we have through our identification with Christ. It's very important that we know what we have by being identified with him. And these aren't part of the six, but you know, I think every Christian needs to know, first of all, that God's for you. Second of all, God's with you. Third, we need to know God's in us. But then we need to know that I'm with Christ. He's with us, but we're with him. And because we're with him, there's certain things that we need to understand that are part now of our redemption. So if you'd open up, first of all, and I'm gonna try to give our young man back there. He's so good at this anyway. I didn't get him a list of scriptures. But Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. So hopefully if you got your Bible there, you can follow along, and he'll get him up there just as soon as he can. And I'm reading from the King James Bible, but I tend to take these and thous out, all right? So if I do that, if you wonder, what version is that? Well, it's mine, okay? can't go down to Mardell and buy one. They don't have my version there, all right? But if I take those out, you'll understand. Galatians chapter 2. The first point, we need to know that we have been crucified with Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now notice he said, I'm crucified with Christ, yet I live. Now, what part of us was crucified? What part of us identified in the crucifixion of Jesus? It wasn't our body. We didn't go physically to the cross. We didn't go there in our mental realm, our soul. We were there in spirit. All right? And our spirit has been crucified with Christ. In other words, when Jesus went to the cross, it's just as if you and I went to the cross, because we're now in him. Now, you know, some folks want to apply that. Well, since Jesus went to the cross and died for everyone's sin, then everyone is already forgiven of sin. They just don't know it yet. Well, that's a little bit of a truth. But if you're not born again, you are not in him. And if you're not in him, you're not crucified with him. Does that make sense to you? Do you understand that? But once you're in him, glory to God, the glorious truth is we're crucified with him. Now, along that same line, Romans chapter 6. I'm going to give a couple of scriptures for each of these. Not spend a whole big time on them all, but this ties in perfectly tonight because we're gonna celebrate communion together, the Lord's table. And all of this is preached here in the Lord's table. Here in Romans chapter 6, look at verse number 6. What part of us was crucified? Look at this. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Well, again, our old man, what's that talking about there? Our old spiritual nature that was separated from God. We're a brand new creation in Christ, aren't we? Remember Galatians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, all things have become new, and all things are of God. A new creation. Literally, someone who never existed before. And the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that old man is passed away. Why? Because you identify with the crucifixion of Jesus. So, well, I don't understand. You don't have to understand how it happened. You just got to know it's the truth. Amen. And start living it. This is who's talking. You know, with Paul, we could say, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ is living in me. How many of you are glad Christ is living in you? He said in that, he went in Galatians 2, he said, that life that I now live in this flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of God. So praise God, I've been crucified with Christ. Well, what happened next to Christ after he was crucified? He died, right? So therefore, I have died with Christ. Let's look at Romans. You're there in Romans chapter 6. Back up into verse number 5. Romans 6, verse number 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, verse 8. Now, if we are dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So Jesus was crucified, and since I'm identified with him through the new birth, I've been crucified with Christ. Jesus died because of that crucifixion. Therefore, I died with him. All right? He experienced it on my behalf, yet I'm partaking of it through my identification with him. Really, if you get right down to it, the more we begin to identify with what Jesus did and who we are in him, the greater life on this earth is going to be. Because this life on this earth is short. How many of you kind of starting to figure that out? I mean, I'm of the more experienced bunch. I didn't say old, I said more experienced, right? And I just see this, you know, that life here is short, but life is not short. Life is eternal. But what we have here on this earth is going to be compared to eternal, so short. But yet we claw and scratch and try to hang on, you know, to so much of it. And when in all reality, Paul said it's far better to depart with being Christ. Now, I'm not asking any of you to depart and be with Christ. I'm not telling you that. That's not the sermon tonight, okay? Live as long as you want. The Bible said with long life, he'll satisfy us and show us his salvation. I'm telling you right now, I've got some experience in life, but I'm not satisfied yet. By a long shot, I'm not satisfied. Amen? But I have been crucified with him. All right, phone, you're going to last longer than that. There we go. Went to the lock screen on me. I've been crucified with him. I died with him. Then what's number 3? What happened after that? He was buried. I was buried with Christ. You're still in Romans 6, right? Back up to verse 4 now. We're kind of going and expanding here. Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Verse number 3. Know ye not that as many as you were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into, notice that, into his death. Now, baptism here, baptism can refer to many things. The Bible talks about in Hebrews chapter 6, one of the fundamental doctrines of Christ is the doctrine of baptisms. The word baptism literally means to be fully immersed in. All right? Now, I grew up in a church where they baptized with a little sprinkle on your head, you know. That was, or put a little water on your head and you were baptized. Of course, you know, Baptist church and a lot of churches, you get fully immersed in the water, okay? I know the Christian church or Disciples of Christ, you get saved, you can get baptized that very same service. So we've got clothes in the back, just put them on, you're going to get wet, right? Well, baptism means to be fully immersed. It also, the Bible talks about being baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire, right? Well, that's being fully engulfed by the Holy Ghost and that fire of the Holy Ghost, if you will. So there's that baptism. And then there's also, we have been fully placed into Christ, into his crucifixion, into his death, into his burial. We're baptized into him in that sense. Look over in Colossians chapter 2. Here's another verse. Praise the Lord. Going a little bit fast, but what? A lot of this isn't new to a lot of folks, but some folks, you know, it's good to be reminded. I have to remind myself sometimes of these things. You know, one of the things I remember that I used to do more often than I do now was I'd write out a list of scriptures, and I'd center up on those for a while, and I'd just read them all the time, read them and say them out, read them out loud so I could hear, but say them out loud. And I would not to memorize, but to meditate, to think upon. And a lot of these were these in him scriptures, what it talks about us being in him, what the reality of that is. Of course, you know, the ministry has that little blue book, little one about that big called In Him. That'd be a great book to get. But I still find there's something great about writing them out yourself. You know, I was going to be be a teacher in college, and I had a lot of education classes. And I know this, the more of your faculties that you can involve in something, the greater the retention of that is. So that's why, you know, if you write down things and you look at it, you say it out loud, you've involved a lot of different things, and then do it. And of course, with little kids, if you can get them to do it, then they've really got it, all right? Colossians here, chapter 2. Look at verse number 12. Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism. Buried with him in baptism. Now, water baptism is a type of being buried, just like Jesus was buried. And but when you come out of there, you're not buried anymore and you're not dead anymore, are you? That's a sign. It's an outward evidence. It's an outward act of what's already taken place on the inside of us. But he said here, buried with him in baptism. And you can't hardly read these because Paul makes sure in his writings, and the Holy Ghost through Paul makes sure that he doesn't leave us buried. He always talks about being risen, right? Wherein you are risen with him. So that brings us to number 4. First of all, I've been crucified with Christ. Say that with me. Say, I've been crucified with Christ. Say it. I died with Christ. I was buried with Christ. Ready for the next one? I was made alive with Christ. Say that one. All right, look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Here in verse number 5, it's hard here in Ephesians for me just to dive into one verse, but I'm going to discipline myself tonight to do it at these places here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, has he quickened us or made us alive together with Christ? By grace you are saved. Amen. He made us alive. Glory to God. The Holman Christian Standard Bible said, made us alive with the Messiah, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. Go back to Romans 6 now. We've looked at a few there in Romans 6. Remember we read in Colossians 2, he said, he raised us up alive. Well, when you get raised up, you're not raised up dead, are you? You're raised up alive. But in order to be raised up, you got to be made alive first. You ever think about that? When Lazarus came out of that tomb, even though he still had his grave clothes on, he was still alive. He was alive, wasn't he? He was dead, but he came out of there alive. Right? So in order to be raised up, you have to be made alive first. That's why we're talking about this. Here now, let's look at chapter 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, dead, a lot of times, you know, in the Bible definition of death is separated from. When a Christian does what we call die, you know, if you were to hear that I was, oh, Pastor Tad, he died. Well, did he really die? No. As in cease to exist? Absolutely not. No. All that happened was my spirit and soul separated from this body. And I'm actually more free and alive now than I ever have been at that point. That's why Paul said to depart and be with Christ is far better. He said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Okay? Have any of you ever had a coat on, jacket on? What happened when you took it off? You were separated from the jacket, right? What now, when you hung that jacket up in the closet, is it in there moving like you had when you had it on and you were moving around? Is it moving? Why? It because there's no life in it. When this spirit and soul leave this body, there's no life in this body. It can't move. It can't go anywhere. Because why? You're not there anymore. Just like you're not in that coat. Amen. Hallelujah. We've been made alive with Christ. Number five, say it after me. I was raised with Christ. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1 this time. Hallelujah. We've been raised with him. He was raised. And when God raised Jesus, he raised us. Everyone who's in Christ. See, we need to know these things ourselves. We need to realize that these things are true in our life. You know, I understand what people are trying to say, but I hear people talking, well, we got to die to self. We got to die to self. How about living under Christ? You live under Christ, you'll take care of that other. He died for us. We died in him. Let's be raised with him. All right? We are raised with Christ. Here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, talking about that resurrection power, he says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. I haven't done it yet in this Bible. It's a fairly new Bible here I grabbed tonight. But I usually will draw an arrow there by verse 20, and I'll go up the page to chapter 2, verse number 6. So let's look at chapter 2 and verse number 6. And has raised us up together. Has raised us up together. Who's now the us here are all the saints and the faithful with Christ. Raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So notice that. What did it say in verse 5 there? We were made alive. And in verse 6, we were raised up. That tells me this. We weren't made alive to stay in the grave. Right? Jesus, when he was made alive, when God made him alive, that big old stone had to move. Because you're not going to be alive and stay in the tomb. Right? He came out of the tomb. Glory to God. And he left his grave clothes, everything attached to that, he left it in there. I love that when Jesus turns to those and Lazarus comes out there, you know, he's still bound up in all of his. He comes out of that tomb standing there, and Jesus said, go over there and loose him, let him go. In other words, take all those grave clothes off of him. Why? An alive person isn't supposed to be wearing grave clothes. It's a new life, glory to God. And we have a new, if you will, spiritual wardrobe. It's called the armor of God. Amen. That's a whole nother, boy, there's a lot of other sermons in that. But then finally, the sixth thing I want to mention tonight, that after we were crucified with Christ, after we died with Christ, after we were buried with Christ, after we were made alive with Christ, after we were raised with Christ, thank God we were seated with Christ in heavenly places. Let's go back over now to chapter 1 and look at verse 19. We'll read down through the end of this chapter now, verse 23. Verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked or demonstrated or the action of it. Yeah, 19, this is verse 20 now. Which he worked in Christ when we raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now notice, when Christ was raised from the dead, he just wasn't raised. He was seated at the right hand of God, at his own right hand. Talking about God seated Christ at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And again, back in chapter 2, verse 6, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where? At the right hand of God. How? Far, how? Where is it? In that heavenly place, far above all principality. When God seated Jesus, those of us who are in him got seated there with him. In the place of authority, above all principality and power, might and dominion, every name that is named. Glory to God. We're above them. They're defeated. Now, drop back to chapter 6 for just a moment. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12. These defeated enemies of God and enemies of God's people, the devil and his host, they're defeated, but they don't like it, and so they're still trying to fight. All right? So, but look what he said here in Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're wrestling with them, but they're under our feet. Every time they rise up and try to wrestle, just kick them in the head and stomp them down. No, get back down there. You're under my feet. You got to stay down there. Amen? It's hard to wrestle with somebody that's got the high ground on you. You can't wrestle with him. You can't get to him. Anakin never learned that. Obi-Wan tried to tell him, give it up, Anakin. I've got the high ground, but he wouldn't listen. The New Living Translation, if you don't know what that means, then you're probably more saved than me. But anyway, New Living Translation of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says this. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Now, again, it's not based on what we've done. It's based on what Christ did. He seated us there. The Amplified Bible says this. And he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So how are we there? What authority? What gives us authority? Because we're in Christ. Now again, this is something God has done. It wasn't my idea. It wasn't Paul's idea. This is what God has already done. This is the plan of redemption right here. This is God's plan for mankind. After that, Jesus died, what happens to us? Well, this is what's happened to us. The Carpenter's translation says this: we found ourselves not only risen from death, but in Christ who is in heaven, and therefore in the heavenly realm ourselves. Now, I realize we're not there physically right now, are we? We're right here. I mean, we're here out on Northwest Expressway in Oklahoma City. All right? But we're seated in him because we're in him in that vital union with him in heavenly places right now. In fact, go on in chapter 2 of Ephesians, you find out heaven is our home now. We're just here on the earth as ambassadors for him. We belong in heaven. When you get to heaven, you're going to know, yeah, this is home. Right? You're going to feel right at home. I had to, you know, sometimes you have that interest, and you have that here on the earth. I know we got to go to Israel in 1983. And I don't know what it was, maybe because I'd read all that, you know, you'd read the Bible and heard all those Bible stories, and this is the area, you know. Now, they like to tell you this is the exact place. I don't know if that's the exact place that anything happened, but it was the area, you know, that things took place. But I had an overwhelming feeling, even way back then, that I was home. That I belonged here. This is home. I don't know why. I don't know why I felt that way. Well, you know, because you realize this is where Jesus, our Savior, spent his entire life, right in this area. It felt like home. Something on the inside of me was reaching out for it, reaching out to it, because it was familiar in that way. It's a very interesting experience. I can't tell you I've ever had that anywhere else. Let's look here. One more verse, one more translation. The Good News Bible says this. in our union with Christ Jesus, he raised us up with him to rule with him in the heavenly world. Glory to God. So, what are these things? Because of our identification with Christ, these are realities of his redemptive work on our behalf. And we are to participate in that redemption, knowing that we have been crucified with Christ, that we have died with Christ, that we were buried with Christ, that we were made alive with Christ, that we were raised with Christ, that we were seated with Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I think that's one of the greatest lessons that I've ever learned, was ever taught, was that message of who I was in Christ. Never ever, it never ever dawned on me to think, I knew I was a Christian after I got born, but to then find out that because of that, I had all these things. It just helps solidify what Christ has done in us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, Father, that your word is true. Thank you, Father, that we're in you, in Christ. And because of being in Christ, we receive all that you planned through redemption. We've been redeemed. You've translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into your dear Son. We give you all the praise and all the glory for that, Father. Thank you, Father. I ask, Father, that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that we might know all these things and who we are. What are these things fall under the riches of the glory of your inheritance? What is our inheritance through that great redemption? We give you all the praise and all the glory. Hallelujah. Right before we go to the Lord's table here, I do want to ask, is there anyone here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You've never called upon his name? The Bible said, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. In other words, confess him, say to him, Jesus, be the Lord of my life, that you would be saved and you would be all these things. You would participate in all these things we just talked about. I don't want to go without asking. Is there anyone here that would like to receive Jesus tonight for the first time? Anyone at all? Just looking, doesn't take a whole long time. Well, good. Then all of you are my brothers and sisters in Christ. If you don't make it to heaven, it's not my fault. All right? I fully expect to see you there then. Amen. Hopefully we'll live close to one another. I don't know how we're going to live up there, and he's making mansions for everybody. But hey, I want to invite you over now. Just come on over anytime, all right? When we all get to heaven and live in that place, just come on over right now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to, Greg, if you go ahead and come forward. I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The same manner he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Tonight we're going to partake of communion together. We've got a little wafer there that represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't believe that it actually becomes his body. It's just a representation of it. We've got some juice in that cup. And at Rhema we use grape juice. We don't use the red juice. Just because it's harder to clean up if you spill it. Okay? But it's just, that's why we use it. But it represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. Jesus said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Not only that, but it also, he said, we do show forth the Lord's death till he come. Jesus is coming back again. As we partake of this tonight together, as we eat this that represents his body, and we drink this that represents his blood, we're declaring that he's taken our sins, paid for our redemption by his blood. We're also declaring that our body is whole. If you need healing, you can receive that tonight just by receiving communion. Amen. But we're also declaring this, that he's coming back again. Amen. How many of you are glad about that? Hallelujah. Jesus is coming back. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Greg. Don't you all appreciate Greg? I know I do. I appreciate him so much. I know he loves and cares for you folks so much. And he and Christy and Nate. We have pastoral staff meeting. Greg's always talking about you all. Amen. What's going on in Oklahoma City? I enjoy that part of the staff meeting because I don't get to see you all that much. But you know, Pastor, he cares so much because, you know, Pastor Hagen, Pastor Mrs. Hagen care about you, you know, that much or more. They're always on, you're always on their minds, both campuses here and in Broken Arrow. Praise the Lord. Here in just a moment, we're going to give our ushers a chance to get back up here so they can partake too. We believe in, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you can partake of communion. We don't have you don't have to be a member here, whatever the case might be. Even if this is your first time, if Jesus is your Lord, just join right in with us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Greg, come over and stand by me. Just come over and stand with me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you've got your emblems there, let's pray. Father, we just thank you tonight. We thank you for your broken body for us, that we could be whole. We thank you for your shed blood that bought us and paid for our redemption. We thank you in Jesus' name. Go ahead and break and eat if you want. Go ahead and drink. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amanda, could you hand me that microphone for Greg? The microphone. Praise the Lord. I'll let you close out. Just begin to thank God for all that he's done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. If you're here tonight, in just a moment, Greg's going to tell you. If you need prayer for anything, Greg's going to tell you, come up and how to do that. When he dismisses, he'll let you do that. Man, and I'll go back. We'd love to shake hands with you before you get out here tonight. And God bless you. And I believe Pastor Miss Hagen, somebody will be back next Sunday night. Somebody will be here. One of the Pastor Hagens will be here. Pastor Mrs. Craig. They might all three be here. You never know. All right. God bless you, Greg. Praise the Lord.